Hello, entrepreneurs, dreamers, business owners, and happy people with high hopes. Welcome to Cash Flows with your host, Cash Matthews.
All right, welcome. Thank you for being here. I am one of those happy people with high hopes, and I hope today that you have a wonderful time joining us here on Cash Flows. My name's Cash Matthews, and we put this show together for you that you might make traction on those goals, those dreams, those things you're trying to improve, or those people you're trying to disprove. This could be a moment for you where you get a little business nugget here. And you know, in the third grade, it was tough for me. I got caught cheating off my neighbor. They said that that was the wrong thing to do. In my brain, it was the right thing to do because he was smarter than me. And we found out, you know, many years later that it's okay to copy off your neighbors. In fact, that's a preferable attitude towards success in building teams and building up your own business or family. Because after all, when somebody's a little smarter than you, it's okay to emulate. You know, we buy all the other sports athletes' jerseys. Why? We want to be like them. And I just wanted to be like my buddy Joe Mark when I copied off of him. Yeah. And anyway, so that's what we're going to talk about today. Copying off your neighbor, finding something that works, and using that as fuel to run after those dreams. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me, Kenneth, that God would give us these beautiful brains and these abilities to think and dream and seek and become, but not give us that same ability to go accomplish those dreams. Mm-hmm. And so I pray that some of this would be for you today, that you're able to take the next step. For us, the next step is called Fire, Aim, Ready. And all that means is get started, take a chance, move forward. Even if you stumble forward, that's okay as well. We're glad you're here. And before we get on with our show, I would like to introduce you to Mr. Kenneth Bockham, the producer of 106 of these podcasts so far.
Yes, thank you. Hi, my name is Kenneth.
All right.
I guess that was
That was it?
That was pretty much it. Yeah. Hey, but no, so seriously, though, it has been a lot of fun. I mean, this is number 107, and it's been exciting. But I think for me, the most exciting part is we've had all these opportunities, not only to meet our wonderful guests, learn a little bit from them, but we've also got not only their nuggets of wisdom, but also we've heard a little bit from you as well, Cash. And I know that, today, I mean, I think for me, what I really want to hear about is a little bit more, or maybe a reminder about those four necessities of business.
Dude, it's my favorite thing to talk about because you can't talk about anything unless you have these things in play.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people try to ice the cake before they bake it. And all that means is I caught my wife eating icing the other day in the kitchen. And I, you know, can you edit that out?
Well, we'll see. I don't know.
Do that in post. You know, but there are steps to business, and there are proper steps, and there are right steps. And if you don't take them in the right order, man, it just gets messed up. And business is hard. I don't know if you've heard, but business is hard. It is difficult. And so I want to share with you what I believe are the four fundamental building blocks for any business in any city, in any country in the world, and building blocks that anybody can do, and they're free. You don't have to go to a seminar, buy a book, buy a CD. CDs are things that we used to use. They're little round circles made of metal, and they make really wonderful coasters for your table.
You might see them hanging in your dad's garden to scare off birds.
Yes. I mean yeah. It's the
grandpa's garden, whoever.
The new version has no idea. Yeah. The trauma we had having to carry around a boombox with a CD player.
Some of those CDs have AOL printed on the side of them, and they're pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I was on the Commodore 64 just last week. So anyway, let me share those four things with you. So number one thing you have to be in business is you have to be good at something. You know, success and business go together, but you got to be good at it. Whether it's, we're going to talk about insurance tonight, or baking, or making a pie, or giving dance lessons, whatever it is you do, whatever your endeavor is, you must get good at it. Are you good on the first day? I don't think so. You know, unless your business is about like just consuming oxygen.
We're pretty good at that. We're all pretty talented.
But if you're not good at your thing, you must make a commitment to get good. Here's how you know if you're good. Grab your checkbook, open it up, and look inside. Look at your bank balance, and it'll tell you precisely if you're any good. If that number is bothersome to you, you kind of suck. Get better. I mean, you know, if you can get 2% better a week, find a mentor, find a tormentor, go on the YouTube, find some way to get a little bit better at your spoken endeavor, your chosen endeavor, and that's step number one. Step number two, you got to be good at running the business. Look, there's no way around it. people try to find a way around it. You can delegate it away if you got the money, and that's cool. You should do that. But you must manage the business. See, maybe you're baking pies for a living, and you're really good at it. Go into business for yourself. But now you're doing taxes and business planning and tax planning and HR and sweeping the floor and all the other things that you have to do. You must be great at running a business or find somebody who is. It's unavoidable. If your business isn't where you want it to go, step back for a minute and find out, hey, okay, yeah, I don't really want to be doing this anyway, but I liked baking pies and now I'm doing HR. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be the number one HR genius pie maker.
Right.
You know, so you got to be good at running your business. Number three, you must be great at marketing yourself. Marketing is real simple. It's letting people know that you exist. You know, to many people, marketing is just a high speed, grab their leg, promote your business any way that you can. And I do not believe in that. If that's you, if you're a close on the first sale, that didn't sound right. Your clothes on.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Keep your clothes on.
Keep your clothes on.
If you like to close deals on the first sale, you know, you're going to struggle all your life. You're going to hate yourself. You know, be nice to people, but you got to know how to market yourself in the right way. Marketing is letting people know that you exist. It's not the, man, there is no good elevator pitch. All right. There just isn't one. Quit trying to work on it. Meet people where they are. Meet people as humans. You know, they can become a prospect, but you meet them as suspects and you treat them that way. You got to be good at running your business. You've got to be great at marketing. And we do that through a thing called compassionate networking. Number four, don't avoid this. You must have balance in your life. If you're who's who in business, but who's he at home, you're going to fail. And besides, what fun is it to make all that money and have no one to spend it with? That's what I got.
Hey, I like it.
Okay. Well, you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
I'm taking one drink.
All right. So while cash is reliquidating,
getting
that drink of water, we have got with us Chris McGowan.
Andrew McGowan.
Andrew McGowan. Oh, man, I missed it.
Yeah,
Chris, I had a friend named Chris McGowan. That's how I got messed up.
All right. That's his eighth
cousin. Hi, Chris, by the way.
All right. Welcome to the show. Andrew Christopher McGowan.
I appreciate you.
I'm sorry. We'll call you Andrew McGowan the whole rest of the show, but we're glad you're here, man. Now, so we met through the bong thing.
Yes, sir, right? We did.
And can you just briefly talk about that experience?
Absolutely.
And yes, like, sir. What that's done for you? How's the bong been for you?
The bong has been great. It started with getting Facebook. I started an insurance company, and I knew I needed to network. I knew I needed to market myself. And my mentor told me, look into online Facebook groups.
Right.
And a friend of mine, Cody Friedrich, who's part of the bong as well,
right,
he recommended the group. And I went to Barnes & Noble to have coffee. And Mr. Bong, Mr. Cash Matthews, showed up and bought me some coffee and some cakes.
I think we had some cake that day.
And he got me plugged in immediately. And it has been excellent. I need to do more one-on-ones.
Right.
That's what I would encourage everybody is, just like you were saying with your four boxes, is getting out there and marketing yourself and meeting.
Yeah, one-on-ones are best form of marketing.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. And so that's one thing I've learned from the bong, is because I'm relatively new to business,
right,
and the insurance industry.
Okay.
And so getting out there, doing the one-on-ones and meeting people, that's seen the largest growth I've had so far is,
right,
from members of the bongs or even references. 1 a.m., getting a notification of somebody looking for insurance.
Yeah.
That came from the bong.
Right.
So
you never know when they're going to log online. You got to be ready.
Yes, sir.
We do a section on how to give and get a good referral.
Yes, sir.
Most people don't know. Not many people are teaching it.
Yeah.
But, you know, people have asked me, how did you build this bong group so successfully? And the answer is I didn't. I allowed other people to build with me, and we co-built this. I don't know if that's the right word, but,
yeah, you
know, we all did it together. But in that process, I did 1,100 one-on-ones in 2 years.
Wow.
And everybody says, man, tell me what it takes to be successful. 1,100 one-on-ones in 2 years. Oh, tell me the other thing. Yeah, tell me the thing that's easy that anybody can do. If it's easy and anybody can do it, it's not going to amount to much.
Yes,
and
sir,
you just have to be willing to go pay that price. They call that work. We've done 107 shows-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, you know, to other people, that's probably work. We've been having a blast.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to find something you're willing to do. And it sounds like through the bong, you've been willing to go do some one-on-ones.
Yes, sir.
You've met a few people, gotten a few referrals. I mean, we look, we're just trying, we're just begging for compliments basically here. All right. So I want to talk about your business and how you, I like to talk about the minute before the business, before you've decided to be an entrepreneur. What were you doing?
Yes, sir. That's a funny story, actually.
Yeah, I want to hear this one.
Okay. So I was, first of all, I was working 9 to 5.
Okay.
And I was working in a plant, a manufacturing plant.
Oh, okay.
Chunk and Steel. I was a project manager.
And it was called Chunk and Steel.
No.
That's what you were doing.
That's what I was doing.
Chunk and Steel.
Chunk and Steel. I was working for a heat exchanger plant.
Yeah.
Here locally, a mom and pop shop. They were very, very good to me. It was an excellent job. I enjoyed it a lot.
Right.
But I met a man, my mentor, my current mentor right now, and he was like, you belong in the business world. You would do really good.
Yeah.
Being 1099, you need to be your own boss.
Yeah.
And so I started down that track, but I was doing project management for a steel plant, and I was in the Marine Corps Reserve. So okay. I was kind of doing two things at once, learning about life. I was doing that in my 20s. I just now got into my 30s.
Okay. Congrats, you made it.
Hey, I did. And kind of when you hit 30, you kind of wake up a little bit, and you're like, okay, am I where I want to be in life?
Right.
And fortunately, I met a man in my 20s who got me to where I wanted to be in my 30s.
Wow.
And now I'm growing from there.
Okay.
So, yeah. So the Marines and manufacturing is where I was before I got into insurance.
M&M means Marines and manufacturing.
Yep.
Hey.
All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you're working for a steel company, Chunk and Steel.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we all use that word. That's
Right.
How long did it take before you're putting that suit on and going out on your own?
It took about whenever I'd made up my mind. That was the first thing.
Yeah.
Is I had to get faith in myself and believe that I could do it.
Yes, sir.
My mentor told me the first thing you need to do is go out and buy a suit. Didn't even have a suit.
Okay.
So six to seven months.
Okay.
Is how long it took me to launch into it. I went and I had to take my insurance licensing. I've never stepped foot on a college campus to study any higher learning.
Right.
All I have is a high school diploma. And so
right.
I went to Barnes & Noble and picked up a Kaplan.
Yeah.
And just studied away. Asked for some help for tutoring. And I passed my life insurance exam on the first try.
Wow.
And the property took two tries. And
well, you wanted to make sure you got it right. It's more complex.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right.
And don't sweat the public high school diploma. I don't know if you know that stands for PhD. You have a public high school diploma. And then now you've got an MBA also, massive bank account. So yes. Normally it's MBA first, then PhD, but we do it backwards here.
Right.
Get your PhD, then your MBA.
Absolutely. Yes,
and
sir.
And anybody can get an MBA, so congratulations on that.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So you never went to college. Good for you.
Never went to college. I was told I wasn't going to need it, and I believed that I had the ability to succeed if I had faith in myself and I had faith in Christ Jesus, who I give him all the credit for my success. I wouldn't be here without it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know about intention or unique design. I just knew I couldn't do it, that I couldn't sit at a desk and wobble around and wait for the lunch hour and have some boss tell me how I was going to live or go on vacation or where my spouse was going to work. I just couldn't do it. Like I knew early, like age 8, that I was never getting a job. And I would just kind of look around like, who are these fools? What? Oh, you have to leave the house again. How nice. And so I want to say to you, congratulations for breaking out of that. Not many do. They kind of live in the matrix.
Yes,
sir. And you broke out of it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now here's what we both want to know. Like the night before the first day. Okay, it's the night before. The first day is tomorrow. What are you thinking?
Moving is right up there with death and divorce in the stress Olympics. But fear not. Turn that box of woes into a crate of woes with Moving Tips and the Life Beyond Boxes podcast with Premium Q Moving. Dive into the world of hassle-free moves, learn tips and tricks to save on cash and your sanity. Say goodbye to those moving meltdowns and hello to the smooth sailings. Or should we say smooth movings? Tune into Life Beyond Boxes with Premium Q Moving on lifebeyondboxes.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. And with us, unpack the secrets to a stress-free move.
How am I going to make a sale?
Okay, the first sale.
The first sale.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. So the first agency I started was with a company called Horace Mann.
Okay,
and they were geared towards teachers.
Right.
And my biggest fear was public speaking.
Even worse. Okay.
So their whole business model was you go into the schools that you're assigned, and you have staff meetings, and you talk to all the teachers at once, and you buy them lunch. So the first thing was, how am I going to make the first sale? And I don't like talking to people. And
this is going poorly. Night one is
night one is going. It was.
That'd be night zero. Actually, night zero is going poorly for Andrew McGowan.
It was going poorly. And then I got up, I got dressed, put on the suit, went, and I realized, hey, if you're friendly to people and you have some answers for them on the product you're trying to sell and you know what you're talking about,
right,
sales are going to come,
right,
but it's not going to come immediately. So I would talk with them and do follow-up meetings, and it became easier and easier as right. I began to talk to the people, and I began to be relatable with them and understand, hey, I'm asking for your business to take your precious assets, your house, your car, these things that you rely on. And whenever I'm sitting down and I put it in that perspective of, hey, I'm asking these people to trust me with this, it became a whole lot easier because it put a little bit of responsibility on myself and on my business, and knowing that I need to be organized, have this integrity. And the fear went away. So it was fear at first. That's how the first night went, was fear.
Yeah.
And that went away immediately. Because once you step out and you start doing something, you realize it is hard, but anything that pays off in life is going to be difficult. Yeah,
the easy stuff didn't pay much.
Chunk and Steel didn't pay all that
much. Chunk and Steel didn't pay much.
It was pretty easy.
Was it really? Chunk and Steel sounds hard.
Well, if you have the right tools.
So day one went okay?
Day one went well. There was no disasters.
Okay.
There was no disasters.
How long did it take for that first client to come along?
2 weeks.
Dude, that is awesome.
Yes, sir.
I remember my first few months, and I'm like, I stink at this. And people have this opinion of me that's completely false. And I didn't like talking to people. And I just, man, I was just a slow learner. And I did some things that are so embarrassing. Yeah. Like, I don't even talk about them. Like, when you hear them, you're like, no, you had a Hollywood script writer write up because nobody could do something that stupid. If we have time at the end, I'll tell you. We make sure we don't have time at the end.
Okay, deal.
So what kind of personality traits are dominant in the winning circle of what you do? What does it take, you know, to be a successful person in the insurance industry?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. That's a great question. I've kind of already touched on it a little bit, but I would say the first one is you need to be relatable. You need to be relatable and have compassion and empathy for the people you're dealing with. Because in insurance, you're asking for people to trust you to safeguard their most precious stuff, their family, their home, their car, and organization. You have to have organization. My mentor always tells me, if you can't make your bed and you can't keep your room in order, then your thoughts are in disorder. Right. And if your thoughts are in disorder, your business is in disorder. And if your business is in disorder, your money's in disorder.
Episode 106, just before you, that's what we focused on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she owned a cleaning business, and you know that conversation was about, hey, if your stuff's not in order, it's just going to drive you crazy, and you feel so good when it's in order. And as a family guy, you feel better when your affairs are in order.
Yes, sir.
So tell me the types of products. What lines of work do you specialize in?
I specialize in life insurance.
Okay.
We carry cash value, term insurance, just basic term, whole life. Any kind of life insurance that you want, IULs, all that, carry that. And then home insurance and auto insurance.
Okay.
I can recommend people for medical insurance, but I don't I don't.
That's touch, a messy business.
I don't touch the medical insurance.
Yeah, that's nobody. When you get calls, they're never happy.
Yeah,
you don't get happy phone calls. Hey, my deductible hasn't been met. You didn't pay my claim, and I have a disease and a broken toe.
Yes, sir.
You know, they just we had a big medical practice for 20 plus years, giant, and I never got a happy phone call because they expect the claims to be good.
Yeah,
so they don't call you and go, man, that is some excellent claims paying. But it phone rings and you see it's a client and you're like, oh no, hello, what happened? And that was never the wrong thing to say. So we gave that business up a while ago, but good on you. So those are all the basics. Yes. Now the car industry has been from me, I know a lot of car insurance guys, they seem to be struggling. Is the market changing in some unique way that we can't fix?
Well, there's several factors in the auto insurance right now. With inflation, the most basic answer is I get this question a lot. People calling me, why did my rates go up?
Right.
I didn't have an accident. I pay all that inflation.
Right.
If the cost of goods to fix your car goes up, the insurance is paying out more in claims, and especially when there's snow on the road and people in Tulsa run into you at the red light.
Right.
The bumper costs a little bit more now.
Yeah, it's like 40% more.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So as inflation goes down, you'll probably see your rates go down, but that is out of your hands. That's more of what is the
power.
The dreaded word of politics. What's happening in that world?
Right.
So
yeah, my parrot swallowed a watch. Now politics.
Oh gosh.
Sorry, I've been working him over for a few weeks here on the dad jokes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate, though. But, you know, policies outside of all our control are dictating the bills we have to pay. And our car insurance went up, and our home insurance went up, and our medical insurance. You know, our medical insurance is not so bad. It's only $2,700 a month right now.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, not a big deal. And
Like half the salary.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, I got to keep my own doctor. And but he quit because he couldn't make any money either. So he's my golf buddy now. Anyway, did I just get political there for a second?
It's possible you were starting to get there.
I am really sorry. I don't want to do that. I just set it up to have the joke. So what's of the jobs you've had in your life? Which one's do you have a favorite?
Well, I have two answers to that. The one I'm currently in right now because I'm my own boss.
Yeah,
I love that. Absolutely love that.
Right.
And then the second was the military. Being in the Marines when you're – so it's like being in the Marines, you hate it when you're in there.
Right.
You absolutely hate it. But when you get – unless you're weird and you enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's some people out there that
don't seem like you're that guy.
No. But when you get out, you look back on it with fond memories.
Yeah.
And you realize that you did learn a lot. And I still have friendships with guys out – that I was in with, and I'll have those for the rest of my life. And you learn a lot. And probably some of the funniest stories I have in my life occurred when I was serving in the Marines. There was stuff. I don't know if it's appropriate to talk about on a podcast, but there was funny stories.
Okay.
Maybe in a one-on-one.
I think it's time for that. I want to hear this. This would be worth it. We're going to take a quick studio break and say thanks to one of our sponsors. And let's see who we have today.
Hey there, listeners. Before we dive back into today's episode, we've got a special shout out to our amazing sponsors. This podcast is coming to you from the studio at Elevate Coworking. Our signage is provided by CM Customs, and the show features amazing entrepreneurs from the Tulsa Business Owners Networking Group. We're sponsored by MFP, My Financial Plan, on the World Wide Web at joinmfp.com. And this show is produced by the audio-video experts at Kenneth Bauckham Photography. With these amazing sponsors at top of mind, let's return to cash flows already in progress.
All right, we are with Andrew McGowan, McGowan Insurance Solutions. They do life, cars, homes, and we're going to get back to Andrew here and find out how he built this business. Former Marine who served his country, and now a fine man who's serving the Tulsa community in the financial and insurance business. So, Andrew, we're talking about the favorite job you've had, and you got a goofy smile about the Marines and said we needed to talk offline. So we've turned the cameras on. If there's one that's really confident, pay no attention to the red light there in the video. That's always on. No, we don't want to do that. So what age were you when you entered the military?
That in and of itself is a story, but I was 25.
Okay.
I joined a little bit later.
Okay. So that's, you had a little maturity going on.
Yes, sir.
And how long did you serve?
I served 6 years and then 2 inactive.
Okay. Are you in the reserve? Is there military?
I'm out of the reserve now. I'm completely done with that contract. That ended last year.
And then that's what folded into being?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very, very cool. So if you could go back to age 18 then, and I don't know, how old are you now?
I'm 31 now.
Okay. Wow. All right.
That's a good number.
That's a good number. It's almost as good as 32.
That's close.
These go to 31 though. So we're, but if you could go back to, I mean, 18's a pivotal year. Yes, it was for me. You know, you start to form all these things. If you could go back to that, Andrew, what's the number one thing you'd tell him?
To be humble.
Ooh, okay. Were you not humble growing up?
No, sir. And the other thing I would tell him is be quick to listen and slow to speak. Is what I would tell him, because I was brought up right. I grew up in the South. I was told yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am.
Right.
And I was instilled with like the values of a Christian family, but I ignored it all.
Okay.
And I got myself into quite a bit of trouble when I was younger.
Yeah, we had pulled your record.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Thank God it got sealed by a judge.
That's what's great about a podcast. You can come in and really get to know somebody.
Right.
And people want to do business with people that they know, that they like, and that they trust. And when you share you with people, I think that's the most endearing thing you can do. You know, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, yeah, who cares? But it's funny. I mean, young guys get in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And we're glad you're here and that it wasn't a big enough trouble to, you know, occupy the next 14 years of your life.
Very thankful for that.
So let's talk about people that, you know, we all have mentors. Some are tour mentors. But let's talk about the influential people. This is actually a game I've been playing for like 25 years. Once a year, I meet with my wife and about 10 of my friends. I'm like, who are the 5 most influential people in your life? And my answers actually haven't changed in 25 years. Okay. They're still the same. And I evaluate it though. Let's just go with 3. Who are 3 people that have had a great influence on you?
Yes, sir. Well, first and foremost, I believe he's a person. And it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We were just talking about the past. We're talking about 18. In my mid-20s, I was dealing with the fallout of decisions I made at 18. And Jesus Christ is what brought me out of that pit. It was a pit. It was a dark place. And that's what – so I give him all the glory, all the credit.
Right.
He got me off of drugs and alcohol. And I was highly addicted to that stuff. And so I have to say that is the influence of seeing his grace, seeing his mercy, and seeing his compassion for everyone. That it goes across the board. He's for everybody in the world. And so I just have to give him the honor. And the second most influential person is actually the man who introduced me to Jesus Christ. And he's my mentor to this day, my business coach, my spiritual father. He's everything that you would expect for a man of God to be.
Wow.
And he's the one who motivated me to stop working a 9-to-5. His name is Mr. Shell, Mr. Brad Shell. He has a business here in Tulsa as well. And he taught me, he was in the military as well. So he connected with me on that level and he taught me business. He taught me compassion. He taught me how to love people. And out of everything I would have to take away, the main thing that I took away from that is he showed me how to truly love people. And if you love people, they see that and they know that you're being genuine.
Sure.
And then the third and final one is my father. He allowed me to make my mistakes. He didn't coddle me. He allowed me to become a man. And when I was making huge mistakes, he did not enable me. He let me go by the wayside. But whenever I got my head back on right and I came back to him, I say, hey, I'm getting it together. I need help. He was there to help me. He was there to guide me. He ran a small business for a while and, actually he still does, but he's pretty much retired. And so he's helped me. He's helped me start the business.
Man, that is awesome.
Yes, sir. So that would be my third one.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing how much smarter your dad gets by the time you're 30. You ever figure that one out?
Just figured that out at 30.
Yeah, that's about when it happened for me. Like, you grow up, and you think one thing about your dad. Like, oh, man, what a this or that. But, man, he just kept getting smarter without even trying. Oh, yeah. And then when I turned 50, I'm like, oh, man. Like, he was onto something. Yeah. Hey, Pop, I have a thing I want to tell you. I am really sorry. It just takes a little while. So does your dad... I mean, you guys have a great relationship then.
We do. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's I love hearing that more than anything. Like, money can't buy that.
No, sir.
Yeah, so good on you for that. All right, so I'm getting ready to marry my wife. You know, we're driving or we're going somewhere, and I'm like, we're engaged. It's coming. It's happening. We're like 3 or 4 months from the wedding, and I realized I had asked very few important questions. Like, you know, do you believe in Bigfoot? Like, you know, we got married with me not knowing the answer to that. But we used to do this, hey, what's your 5 favorite meals? And mine were steak and potatoes in 5 different versions. And she's like, seriously, like, no, that's it? I'm like, yeah, steak and potato, filet and potato, KC strip and potato. Like, I might do French fries, I might do mashed, I might do baked. But it's, you know, meat, like, how do you not know how to live? Yeah. So I'm going to turn that on to you.
Yes, sir.
And if you could eat one meal for the rest of your life, you got one shot at it. What are we going with?
Absolutely. So this one's near and dear to my heart. I love this question. My first job ever was, I was a chef's assistant.
Okay.
I love food. We were talking about cheesecake before this started.
Oh, okay.
But the food, I'm a foodie.
Okay.
I'm a snob when it comes to this food. It's pizza.
Really?
I can eat pizza for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Yes. It would be New Haven, Connecticut style pizza if we wanted to get specific.
Wow, that's specific. Any shop there you like the best? We can call them out here and all 8 of our listeners will try it.
No, not a shop itself. I just like that style.
Okay. What? Describe it. I'm not familiar.
It's thin. It's a little bit thinner and it has a crisp to it.
Okay.
And it's kind of morphed off of New York style little bit, but you know, it's New Haven, Connecticut. So some consider them the pizza capital of the world.
May have to go there. I'm going to take a trip this summer. May end up in that area, actually.
It would be worth a stop. There's several of them.
So what's your favorite local joint?
My favorite local. Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to go with JC's.
Now where, I don't know that one. We don't go for pizza much.
Okay.
But where's JC's?
JC's is down on 31st and Peoria.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And they have weird hours. I'm going to say that. They do have weird hours.
Okay.
But so far, I haven't tried them all yet, but so far that's my favorite one to go to.
Okay, very cool. Well, we're glad to know it. Kenneth, what's your favorite? Are you a pizza guy?
I do enjoy a good pizza, but honestly, I like most of mine homemade.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you put on it?
My current favorite is I go down to one of our Bong members, Oki Family Mart.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pick up some sourdough bread from a local place, and they make sourdough pizza dough. And then I just, boom, put all my favorite toppings on there, usually meat and cheese, stuff like that, and then pop it in the oven. Sometimes Carol makes it for me, you know, either way. And, yeah, enjoy a good pizza.
We had a big organizational meeting at my company when we had 50 employees.
Oh, yeah?
And we put up a deal, like we did a fancy invite. And on the invite, like we kind of fudged it a little bit. And we put on the main entree was round Italian. And it didn't go over that great.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we get dressed up to eat pizza? No, this is round Italian. There's a big difference.
Big difference.
And then we got on with the meeting, and I probably never answered that, so... Anyway, gosh, I think I'm confessing some fun things. All right, we are here today with Andrew McGowan, McGowan Insurance Solutions. You can find him on the Facebook. You can find Andrew on the Faceback.
It's like having your quarterback, but it's having a Faceback.
No, it's like a soft technology software that you can see somebody from behind and
figure. Oh, that's right.
Faceback.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Name that movie.
Anyway. The other guys.
Yeah, that may be it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm a movie idiot. but You know, I don't even know where I'm going now. I'm just completely.
Well, we were advertising his business name and address finding him on Facebook.
That's right.
And MySpace and LimeWire and wherever else.
Yeah. You can also find him through email if you'll shoot us an email at cashflows@tulsabong.com. That's our new website.
Yeah.
You can also find him in the Tulsa Business Owners Networking Group Facebook page, as he is a member there as well. So come and meet Andrew McGowan. You know, and this is one of the things people do that's crazy. I'm jumping back to insurance again here. Like, how long does it take to do a quote to figure out how much you're paying?
Depends on the product, but...
Yeah, car insurance. I mean,
car insurance, you give me all the correct information, 5 minutes.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay. Let's say we're five times as dumb as that, and it takes 25 minutes.
Okay.
And you can save them $300-$400 a year, or $200 a year, or... $1,000 a year. Like, how it doesn't take that long to do an insurance review, but we get stuck with these people because our parents used them and our grandparents used them, and I don't think that's the way to go. I mean, what is wrong with you people? Give Andrew a call, take 10 minutes of your day and figure out if you can get a better deal.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Am I missing anything?
No, sir. Quotes are all free. It doesn't cost anything to shop it around, and canceling insurance is a lot easier than people think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have to cancel the old and go with the new,
it's a phone call. They can cancel it the same day and they reimburse you.
I've always encouraged my family to get quality insurance with a quality agent and somebody that will stand with you. My brother's house burned down a week ago tonight. He got his check in the mail yesterday.
Like, that's excellent.
Yeah.
He's got good insurance.
He, you know, he pays a little bit more for it. Not a lot more, a little bit more for it. And we had this discussion. Use an insurance company that's going to take care of you. You got to take care of the client when they need it. They're in distress. He is out of the country at the moment. And I'm the one that, I mean, we were at the fire 30 minutes after it started. It's down in my neighborhood. And we got a disaster recovery team out. Do you work with disaster recovery teams when there's a disaster? Like, who are going to help scrape all the junk away? Do you do any of that?
Yes, sir. I have roofers and disaster recovery teams that I coordinate and work with, and I've found them all in the Bong.
Oh, awesome. Very cool. Oh, well, that's another.
Very cool.
Another high five for the Bong. I love hearing that. And if you ever need, I'm a big believer, one of our disaster recovery peoples, Regina LeBlanc, fire was, you know, out by about 4 a.m. She's on the property at 7, and she called me and said, hey, I don't care what happens. We're going to tarp it up. Because we have bad weather coming, we're going to jump on this deal, and we're going to make sure that he's not hurt any further. And later that day, the insurance person actually showed up. An investigator showed up the next day, got a check today.
That's excellent.
Yeah. I mean, I thought my brother was joking with me. And I'm like, you have a he did. And now we're doing the recovery part. And, you know, just you want those companies to show up for you.
Absolutely.
And man, did we get, and I'm glad you're using people from the Bong. Okay. If you could have coffee with just one historical figure, and we're going to call it a cash coffee, like 4 hours. All right. Cause if I'm going to coffee with you, I'm digging in. Like, yeah, don't schedule nothing the rest of the day. We're going to go the distance here. Yeah. Coffee, like an hour for coffee. That's no good.
That's crazy.
Don't be doing that. But who would your person be?
That's extremely easy.
And I'm going to ask you too. So you be
do thinking, it.
I'm going to.
That's extremely easy, especially with the stipulations you just put on it. With the
4 hours,
That would be General George S. Patton.
Ooh, okay.
Wow. Absolutely.
Yes. Since being in the military, and I love history, I'm a student of history. He was a student of history. World War II is my favorite part of history to study it, and he was massively important in it. And I feel like if he had gone, he was a military man his whole life, but I feel like if he had gone into business, he would have absolutely shut it down.
Right.
He had discipline, and I would just be curious to talk with him about his life, his successes, his failures. And when he was on top, he went all the way down to the bottom, and then he came all the way back up to the top again.
Right. I loved his speech where he talked about, you know, the purpose here as a military man is not to die for your country, but to make some other poor soul die for his country.
I like how you clean that up.
Yes, sir. And a big fan though. You know, I'm not going to judge a man for his vocabulary, but I am going to watch his character. And that's one of my favorite characters as well. And like watching the Patton movie that came out in the 70s and then the it's amazing. And he says something like, you know, you're at war. You know it's happening when the bullets are zinging by your head. And only then you can kind of really test your true worth. I'm like, that guy is just, he's marvelous.
Yes, sir.
All right. So you've studied him a little bit. I think he would have been great at business. I mean, that's a guy that I could see working for. So do you have an answer real quick, Kenneth?
You know, I do. And now I kind of feel silly about mine, but not blowing smoke at all. I'm just sitting here thinking, if I've got 4 hours, I want some inspiration. I want some great stories. I'm gonna double up. Can I double up on mine?
Two and two. I think you can do that.
Two and two. And they're Bong members.
Oh.
I'm just saying, there's some people that I want to have 4 hours worth of coffee with. And in spite of being in the studio with Cash Matthews for 107 hours already, I would do four more with Cash and Kyle Sullivan.
All right.
That's who I want. That's to me, that's the dream team right there. We'll make some stuff happen.
Okay. Well, I think we're on that team. So congratulations. Thanks for having me aboard.
Of course.
I appreciate that very much. Can you believe that? I think that's the best answer I heard this
evening. I mean, I like Patton. That's a wonderful answer. I was like, oh, man, I got to rethink this. But honestly, the first two names, I was like, boom, right there.
All right, man.
These are the guys.
On behalf of Kyle, I appreciate that. On behalf of me, I'm embarrassed. All right, so we're going to wrap up here, and then we're going to get a business nugget from you, a biz bite.
A biz bite.
We're going to do a biz bite in a minute. But what's the most important lesson you've learned in your career?
You have to have faith in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else is going to believe in you either.
Right.
You have to have faith to step out and to take a chance and know that it's going to work out. You just have to, keep on pressing through. And that's the biggest lesson I've learned is to have faith in myself. What you say about yourself is more important than what anyone else says about you.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing the number of people we give authority to? And they say the number of people that come to your funeral is based on the weather. And, here we are taking advice and believing opinions of people, and they wouldn't even come see our funeral if the weather was not so good. Wow. And, believe in yourself. That is an entire podcast, how to believe in yourself.
Yes.
I hope we can dig back into that, Kenneth, here in the near future and maybe have you back to talk about that. But when we're born and we are uniquely formed in our mother's womb for purpose and for I know the plans I have for you. Not just the highly pedigreed people, but all of you. For God so loved the world.
Sir.
Like, I mean, come on. That's got to give you a little bit of a boost. And I think you can take that in a very practical way and go, okay, you know what? I do belong. And I think so many of our friends in the Bong, they're not worried about what they are. They're thinking more about what they aren't or what they perceive themselves not to be. But I believe we are all meant to do great things and do marvelous things if we want to. And so many people, though, they want to steal second base, but they're going to keep both feet on first.
Sorry.
And if you're listening tonight, that is something to really contemplate. I think that's one of the most important lessons you're ever going to learn. So we are here today with Andrew McGowan, McGowan Insurance Solutions. We're fixing to do a biz bite. We're going to hear from Andrew one more time about something that it's not even on the script. So what you got? Wait, hang on. We got to introduce this appropriately.
Ladies and gentlemen, this part of our show is Biz Bites.
Biz Bites? Biz Bites? That's a good introduction right there.
I do. I love that.
Slow Soupy Jazz, 94.7.
My Biz Bite is going to be, because I'm in sales,
right.
Is persistence.
Ooh.
You have to stay persistent. You have to stay persistent with following up. You have to stay persistent with completing the quote. They may come back and say, hey, I need some stuff changed. I didn't like this. Are you able to do better on the deductible? And not letting stuff go by the wayside. Stay persistent. Stay on top of your leads. Stay on top of your sales. Stay on top of your claims and everything. You have to persist and stay with it. And your underwriters might come back with something, but have faith that there's a solution there and stay persistent. Don't give up.
We're going to wrap this up. I'm going to tell you a cool story.
Let's hear it.
The night my wife finally was brave enough to tell me how much she cared for me. She sees it a different way, by the way. That was like the night I talked her into, being my girlfriend. But it was the night she came to her senses. And can we not play that part?
We don't.
Okay, we'll edit that in post. But the night she came to her senses, the night where she, you know, was finally able to admit to me, you know, I was kind of the guy. And her first words were, we were watching The Simpsons, sitting on the floor, eating popcorn. And she said, Cash, you have been painfully persistent, and it may have paid off. And I went, eh. I didn't really do that part, but I always wanted to act like I did. I think I fainted. But those were her first words. You have been painfully persistent. So when I hear a man of your caliber talking about persistence, and I've enjoyed some of it myself, I know we're on the right track, and that's as good a biz bite as we can have. Thank you so much for being here, Andrew McGowan. Let me read us out of here and just say, hey, that's a wrap for today's show. That's a wrap for 107, Kenneth. I cannot thank you enough for spending time here and not wearing cologne in the booth. or body lotions or hair tonic or anything that's else that makes my head swell up to any bigger.
And that's been a sacrifice. My hair tonic is something that I hold very closely. But
well, you know, tonic is tonic. But anyway, thank you for that. This has been something marvelous.
You're welcome.
So here on out, as we leave this room and we'll resume these episodes very shortly, but you've got 107 to listen to.
Yeah.
Make sure you tell your friends about it and download some of these. Today, let's be nice to each other. Let's make good decisions for our family. And more importantly, let's forgive somebody that absolutely does not deserve it. Forgiveness is not about that other person that wronged you. Forgiveness is you forgiving them so that you can move on. Somebody else's fault? Sure. Whose responsibility is it to deal with it? It's yours. So with that, Kenneth, we're going to wrap this show up. Episode number 107. This is Cash Flows. And always remember, this show is for you.
That's our show for today. Stay tuned for another riveting edition of Cash Flows.